Lucille Craig drove me to Drawbridge, California, a ghost town in the San Francisco Bay. You can't really drive all the way there. It's on an island, and the path that goes closest to it is for walking or hiking on. But Craig's a volunteer with the Don Edwards San Francisco Bay National Wildlife Refuge, which is where Drawbridge is. So we borrowed a government van.
Now what we're going past here is an outfall for Mallard or Artesian Slough, and this pond on the left of us is A16.
Craig teaches a birding class and takes people from the very southern end of the bay, near San Jose, through the salt marshes and along the sloughs to see Drawbridge, which is in the bay.
Oh, there's a little bunny. Actually, a big bunny.
There's a big jackrabbit.
Yeah, we get both bunnies and jackrabbits.
It's actually getting to be increasingly in the bay, because not only is Drawbridge on an island about halfway between Alviso and the Dumbarton Bridge, it's also sinking. So we went out to see the roofs of the town.
So we're driving on a levee. Is that right?
Yeah. All around this whole track we've been on, and all the way around 5.5 miles is a levee.
Salt companies built the levees out here. When you fly into the Bay Area and see red and brown and maroon sections in the bay, those are salt ponds. That's what a lot of this was before the wildlife refuge got the land and began to restore it. Drawbridge was here even before the salt ponds, back when the area was still salt marsh to begin with.
I see a train moving. Are those the tracks?
Yep, those are the tracks we're gonna. Let's see. It looks like it's running right through Drawbridge right now. Yeah, I can see the houses here.
Before we started driving, Craig showed me historical photos and aerial shots of Drawbridge. It's part of a presentation she does.
I usually start this by saying I'm not a historian, I'm not a biologist or ornithologist, I'm an engineer.
A mechanical engineer, third woman to graduate from Ohio State with a degree in mechanical engineering.
So the picture you're looking at here is if you're looking south.
Drawbridge straddles the train tracks. Two guys with Wild West names built the railroad in the 1870s.
Slippery Jim Fair and Hog Davis, or James Fair and Alfred Davis. They had this vision where they wanted to build a narrow gauge railroad between Alameda, south of Oakland, and Santa Cruz.
The railroad crossed the bay at an island, so Fair and Davis hired a bridge tender to live there to open and close the bridges for boats.
And then they called it Drawbridge, which is a misnomer because they're not drawbridges. You know, drawbridges go up like this. Swing bridges go from a pier.
But Drawbridge is what the town's called. More people moved out there, and it was populated for about 100 years, 1880s until 1976, when the last person moved away.
It really was marsh before, and it's marsh now with some decaying buildings. Okay.
The town reached its peak in the late 1920s when there were about 90 cabins. Some people lived there year-round. In the summer, it really filled up with families on vacation, but the winter was a different crowd.
Winter living was when there were more wild stories, and I think it was, stereotypically, it was men who would be coming to hunt, poker, a little drinking, and so it was a little more of a party time. People talked about it being very filled with interesting activities, like houses of prostitution or something, but there's no evidence of that. But they were independent spirits. There's no police, no services, and it had a lot of gun clubs because what we find is this particular area was a perfect spot to hunt and fish. If you come out here today in the winter, you'll see thousands of ducks. I don't think in the tens of thousands, like I've seen some of the pictures, but they're still, I mean, the ponds fill completely with ducks.
We saw ducks and pelicans, grebes, terns, gulls, cormorants, stilts, avocets, harriers, and an osprey. And the town, it came into view slowly.
Now here's where the slough is now about to join Coyote.
It's getting very narrow.
Yeah, and this is where we're going to start to see our first things of Drawbridge.
Oh, okay. Is that peaked roof?
So there's the white buildings, there's the landfill hill, there's the white salt hills, and then there's Coyote Hills.
Okay.
Just in front of that landfill hill, you can see the peak of a roof.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
The buildings in Drawbridge are dark, weathered wood, 100 years old or more. Roofs half blown away. A water tower is still standing, though it's got a rakish lean. Tall green and brown grasses look even taller since the buildings are sinking.
So we'll get a little closer.
In the slideshow, Craig showed me pictures of some of the people who lived there.
One of the more well-known ones was Nellie Dolan. She was called the Bella Drawbridge. She lived there from the time she was there at age 10 to in the 60s, and eventually, I think, moved out. But she spent most of her life there, three marriages, two sons. this is her and her dog when she was older, or here she is when she's younger, and hip waders, and I can't tell if it's birds or a fish, but she was a hunter, so I'm guessing it's a duck. She has a rifle.
I love this picture. She just looks...
Yeah.
She looks really cool.
And I could really relate to this. I mean, my mother would come to visit us in the 70s after I got out of college, my husband and I, in Southern California, and she would come and she'd be wearing this Stetson cowboy boots, not fancy ones. These are ones you'd go out and work in the barn in, and this fake fur coat. And she would arrive, and I was embarrassed. I can admit that now. I mean, I wish I wasn't at the time, but I was. I was in my early 20s. It was just that. And I can picture that. She was independent. She lived for what she wanted to do. It was comfortable clothing, and she felt good in it. So what's the difference? Why is that not okay? Well, I think, you know, Nellie Dolan had that same kind of attitude. Was she could out here, she could be that kind of woman. If you go back in society at that time, maybe not as easy to be that kind of woman.
So why did it start emptying out by the 60s?
If you think about its peak in 1928, roaring 20s, just before the Depression, one of the things that really started to happen then was there was this big invention that happened in the 20s and late teens, which was...
Car.
That's right, the automobile. So people had other places to go and an easier way to do it. Well, they didn't go to Drawbridge anymore. I think the other thing, too, was in the 1930s, a number of the salt ponds were built with either WPA or CCC during that time, and so a lot of this was changing. The marsh was changing to salt ponds. So it wasn't as much fun. So there wasn't as much, the birds changed, the ducks changed, the fish changed. All these various reasons for coming out were different. Silent movies were another thing coming out. So there were more attention things for people to do something else that now going to the simple hunt and fish at a local place wasn't as attractive.
Seal Craig and I pulled up to one of the railroad bridges that goes to the island.
Okay, so this is the spot where I usually stop, just past the tide gates.
It's used by Amtrak now. We got out of the van, and we looked out at what's left of Drawbridge.
The winter has done a few of the, as much rain as we had. Some of the roofs are not in great shape. Looks like a sign has fallen down, maybe. See the building we can really see. Mm-hmm. Go over to the left, there's the hills, then there's the telephone pole, whatever.
Right.
There's a little two little peaky things sticking out.
Oh, I see.
It used to be a red tin roof. It looks to me like it's starting to collapse. We noticed that in May.
This isn't a historical park. It's a wildlife refuge. The plants and the animals are the priority. And so the policy for Drawbridge is to let the buildings crumble.
Part of me would like that we kept track of the decline. If anything, I guess it's the engineer in me. I want to know scientifically what happens over a period of time.
Beyond the town, we could see PG&E power lines and the Dumbarton Bridge, the cities of Fremont and Milpitas, highways, Silicon Valley, landfills, and salt ponds, but just barely.
It feels like we're kind of standing in the middle of the bay here.
It does. It always feels that way, I think.
Yeah.
And you could, to me, that's the attraction of it. Think about this. It still doesn't have much around it. It never did. But isn't it nice?
It's like salt marsh, almost as far as the eye can see. And then you just see the cities.
You see it around the edges. But if it's kind of hazy like this, you can almost say, well, I don't quite see that.